Hallo und herzlich willkommen auf dem 38. DocFest München. Hallo aus dem Silbersaal, wo auch immer Sie uns gerade angucken oder zuhören. Schön, dass Sie mit dabei sind. Wir werden jetzt hier ein Gespräch führen, beziehungsweise ich, und zwar mit Tonislav Ristov. Er ist der Regisseur von The Last Seagull, einem Film, der dieses Jahr bei uns im Doc-Panorama-Bereich läuft. And I'm very happy to meet him. Hi Tonislav, good morning.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Where are we talking to you right now? Because I know you live both in Finland and Bulgaria.
Yes, at the moment I'm in Sofia. We are working on new documentary, so I'm actually filming in one day. So I'm just preparing next shootings.
So thanks for taking your time and to talk to us. Take us to the place where we meet your protagonist, Ivan. What kind of place is this in Bulgaria where you take us?
Well, basically, Ivan lives 6-7 months in a year on the Black Sea coast, where he had been doing this for the last, I don't know, 30-40 years. He has been hooking up with foreign women, and then during the communists, it was kind of a fun way to meet Western Europeans, but then later on, he became more or less like an escort, in a soft way. So he sometimes gets paid for the services of being a companion to the ladies that comes as a tourist to the Black Sea coast. During the winter and autumn, he's back to a small village by the Turkish border where he lives the other half of the year. This is the place where I did another documentary called The Good Postman, and this is where I met also this Ivan. And then when we were working on the other documentary, I met him and I get really excited about his story and his summer life. And then we start following him on his journey. And then later on, everything went crazy, as if you have seen the film, things didn't went so as he planned.
Why did you make the decision? Because, I mean, you've already worked with Ivan before. Why did you decide that he is a protagonist for a documentary?
I liked him. I like him because he have these human flaws, which, but then again, in his mind, he's like a little child who wants a perfect family and a wife and a child and a just normal, like a normal life. Just he wants like everyone else, but then somehow through the years, he never managed to have this. And at some point he had it for a very short time with his Ukrainian wife. But then, as you've seen in the film, things didn't work out. But this didn't stop him of having the dream of a perfect family. And then the idea of a perfect family that he pursues now for the last 40 years. I liked really much because we all are looking for that. And then somehow even a person in a very weird position like what he is to aim at this final goal, it was really precious to me. I really admired him for the energy of trying to convince women that he can be a good father and a good husband.
I think I think he has movie star looks. You're back. I think Ivan is such a character, and I think he looks like a movie star. And at some point in the film, I actually forgot that I'm watching a documentary because I thought it has such a fiction-like quality. The fairy tale, the place, the locations look so out of this world to me, at least, because, I mean, I've never been there. And then Ivan with his the hair, the constant smoking. It must have been great to just watch him be himself.
Well, you know, it's not my first film in that village. It's my third. Yeah. It's a part of a trilogy. And the second one is a real fiction film that is going now around the festivals too.
Yes.
So I like the guys. They've been trained in front of camera for quite some time. But I remember a very good example that when we did The Good Postman, and this Ivan the Seagull, he was also in that film. And then we were showing the film. It was all over the world. It was in Sundance and, you know, so on. And then there came some American this kind of agent and said, like, who is representing this guy? We would like to try to find him work in Hollywood. And I'm like, what? First, this is a documentary, and secondly, this is the guy's number. But I wouldn't really count that much on his acting skills to try to in Hollywood. So it was really funny because they like him so much how he's on camera. But what is good about them that, you know, I've been for the last 7, 8, maybe even now 10 years to that village, and then we became so good friends, and then this mutual trust about what we do. So it was nice to go beneath, you know, the surface. And then it's again, it's a very interesting place in Europe, this Golden Sands, and then the Great Derwent, the village on the border.
Mm.
It's like there are quite many stories there that are very universal, although it's in the end of the Europe, the last European city, or at least not the city, village. So, yeah, I like the place and I like the people, but I'm done with that place. Now, when the trilogy is done, I'm not going back there only for just to have a drink or something.
Let's talk about what I found fascinating with your film is, on the one hand, it seems so, like, fallen out of time. Do you understand what I mean? Because it seems like this is Bulgaria such a long time ago, and when Ivan was young and when he started being a seagull. And then on the other hand, you have this very, very recent stuff, like you have COVID, you have the COVID crisis, and then you have the war in Ukraine. Can we talk about that a bit, how you brought these worlds together, and if that was something that interests you?
Yeah, of course, I'm really into, I do character-driven films, but they are in a setting, of course, with a lot of politics and everyday life. That's something we cannot escape or hide from. So what is happening around us, it's changed our life. You know, in Ivan's case, the COVID was really big slap on the face, because for 2 years there, or for 1-2 years, there was no tourists on the beach, which means that summer he needs to look for other work, which is for the last 30 years, like many other people, of course. But it was really interesting in his case, because his job is not like a restaurant or a cafeteria or a hotel. It's a totally different kind of services. So it was really interesting to see what he's going to move with his life. And in the film, you can see. But about the war in Ukraine, it's also very interesting, because the film we closed before the war started. And then we closed the film. And then let's say that it was last year, at the beginning of the year, we haven't done yet the color grading, sound work, music, composing, but the cut of the film was kind of closed without the war. And then with the son just talking with his father, you know, they just had a conversation on the phone and something. No, they didn't even talk on the phone. It was different ending of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started, I said to the producer, like, look, we cannot not, you know, his son is in Kiev in the middle of everything. He's trying to go there. He actually, after the film was done, he went to Kiev. He spent there 1 year or something with his son. So it's totally life-changing event for this person. And we should do something to show it. I mean, at the beginning, we were thinking that just we're going to write it at the end. But it didn't felt right, because
mm-hmm.
the ending was a bit more cheerful. It was about him, okay, getting married and maybe starting the job, the life, different kind of life that he always dreamed of. So it was a positive vibe at the end. And then when this thing happened, I said, like, okay, we need to go to shoot a few more days with Ivan and see what his son is doing or something. And this is how we went to shoot a few more days for this new ending.
Mm-hmm.
of the film, which is, of course, much stronger and much darker, if I can say, and sad. It's like, this is how it goes, like, when the film starts, you're expecting something fun and light, and then slowly it rolls out into quite dark and strong, I think, sad film, which, actually, all my films, the last five are like this. They always start funny. This one was supposed to end also light, but then at the end, life changed it. And then the producers were fine. They said, okay, Tony, just go and shoot 2 more, 3 days or 5, whatever you need, you know, just to find what's important for the ending of the story. And then this is how the film ends with the war. And my point is that this man's life, it never ended, because then he left to Kiev to his son. And I was like, should I go there or should I not? And then, you know, it doesn't stop the whole thing. And then his wife was there in Kiev, so, you know, his life continued, but I've been doing this for 4 years. I was 5, I was following him. And then there's a moment when you have to say, okay, now it's, we have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the film. But it was really interesting that how his life changed in this piece of time.
Mm-hmm. Your film touches on, of course, very sensitive subjects about fragile masculinity, about sexuality, about sleeping with people to get money for that. How did you approach that? Because I think you're so, there's no judgment or anything in this film. You just, I mean, we just follow Ivan and we try to understand what he is actually doing. Can you tell us a bit about that, how you approach that?
Good understanding. I have very clear understanding of him, why he is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily see also, I don't know, even myself or anyone, you know, just being in this, in his shoes, because sometimes life rounds like that and then you don't have choices, a lot of choices. So he made sometimes, he did some wrong choices in his past and he tried to find a better life like we all try. But with respect and dignity, I never went up on him because it's really easy, you know, in documentary films, it's our responsibility as directors to never go up on the characters because there could be a characters in a very bad situation and easily you can step on them, which is, it's rule number one as a documentary director. You should never go up on your characters. And sometimes they're extremely fragile because that's why we are interested in their stories, because they're going through something, through some change, because films are change. So the rule was to be very sensitive, to never embarrass him, you know. It doesn't matter what he's done or what he's doing, to never embarrass him and to kind of try to understand his choices. And that's pretty much how I do all my films. It's a basic rules, you know, to never go up and to never hurt the characters. Because also when the film goes out and it can go all over the places, and then if it's really not properly trimmed, it can give very bad vibe for the character, and then sometimes he will change his life in not a good way. So this is a very big responsibility compared to fiction, because in fiction you don't have responsibilities because the actors are characters, so they can just put the red nose and they can be anything, and then everyone hates the character, they don't hate the actors.
Yeah.
It's easy, you know, then you can make the whatever characters you like.
You include a scene in the film in which Ivan is obviously drunk, and when he kind of reflects on his life and he talks about how much he hates women, or he hated women when his heart was broken, basically. This scene I felt was very special, and it didn't make me not like Ivan. I felt that he was actually opening up and speaking about being hurt for the first time. And how did he like the film, and especially that scene, for example? Because I imagine if a documentary filmmaker is shooting me while I'm drunk, I would ask the filmmaker afterwards, like, can you show me that scene? Because I don't really remember anymore what I said.
Yeah, I don't, look, of course, he drinks a lot, especially at winter, so this is not a big surprise for him that he was drunk in that scene. But what he was happy about, it was exactly this also what you mentioned, that he could finally say what's the thing, because for him it's pretty hard to go deeper and explain about his wife breaking his heart, and then he was like left behind, and then he couldn't cope with life, and then he made these bad choices in life. So to him, this was revelation, or what's the word? It's like when we talked about it, he was happy. He was happy because he was honest and he was open, and then he shared his pain.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to, you know, of course, again, when you go back to the moral of can you use a scene when someone is drunk or not or something, I think it's again linked to if the person feels comfortable and if he trusts you that you don't mistreat the scene, because again it's all about trust. And if, because sometimes also the characters, they do not understand when they have been used in a documentary film. This is also another responsibility for the director, that you should not let your character being abused, and sometimes they get this feeling that they're big stars now and they don't realize that they've been abused. So there is a really balance. So that scene concretely was, I think, very important to understand his human side. He's not just a male escort who have found a way to combine fun and money, but he's actually a person who is broken, and then his only way to deal with it is to do that.
Do you think that Ivan's relationship with his son might have profited from this film? I mean, I guess the son must have watched the film, and also Ivan talking about it and knowing, this is something in my life that I need to fix or I want to fix. Do you think it helped making the film?
You know, I have noticed through the years, through the films, and I can give it a few examples, including that one. It's actually, the camera works both way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The camera is telling your story, but then it's also giving permission for you to move forward. And then what I liked about the camera, and then about the film, and about the existence of us in Ivan's life, is actually we gave him the energy to move further with his son. Because his son, for example, haven't talked for 18 years with him, and then first talk we filmed. And this was never going to happen if there was no film. You know, the son was refusing. And then many other things. Also, I think, you know, I will quote another film. I will give you as an example. I had a film called The Magic Life of V. It
mm-hmm.
was also in Unifest a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same at the end. A girl, a young woman, she was abused by her father when she was little, and she hadn't seen the father for the same 18, 20 years. And no, it was less, 15 years in that film. And then, because we were the whole film crew and the trucks and everything, I worked with a very big film crew. And then she felt like, okay, she have to meet the father and tell him, like, why did you do it? Like, you know, she never told even for doing it. Like, also Ivan, he was so afraid, and the son, they never wanted to communicate. But the film gave them, also the crew, a reason to deal with that problem. It's like a psychotherapist at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I like really much, because it's a mutual. They do this for us, but we do this for them. And then also in The Magic Life, which she met at the end the father, and she told him, like, what was your problem? Why you did it? And then we understand. I don't want to tell about that film also with someone. Anyway, how it went. But she met the father, and then also now Ivan met the son. So actually, this is very important, that the film helped also the characters to move further with their life, and this whole change and drama and trauma to move further and maybe heal. Because after Vera met her father, she never met him since then, but then she felt so good. She
mm-hmm.
had this conversation. She have understanding, she deal with that demons.
So we are very, very thankful and happy that you introduced Ivan to the world, and of course to Dogfest München. And we hope to meet you here in person next year, just with the new film, or just visit us in Munich.
I love that. I've been going many times to Munich. My wife studied in Munich in LMU, so I've been many times. I love the place. So. Thank you. It's great, and great festival.
So thank you so much, Tomislav, for taking your time. Thanks for your wonderful film, The Last Seagull. Und dieser Film läuft bei uns im Panorama. Das heißt, er ist aber durchaus für einen Preis nominiert, und zwar für den Kino-Kino-Publikumspreis, gestiftet von BR und von Arte. Und da möchte ich Sie doch unbedingt dazu auffordern, stimmen Sie ab für The Last Seagull. Danke.